The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Sky Broadband. Get the power to do more with Sky's best ever Wi-Fi.
And good tidings to you all. It is Wednesday, it is the 24th, and there's just a week's worth of March left to go. And in the words of the poet and philosopher Brittany Jean Spears, are you stronger than yesterday? Let us know by text. It is 51551, and the email is ryan@rte.ie. No Ascoelga, Ryan Egg, RTE Punk, IE. Is that correct? You can correct me on that, sure, on the text if you want. So, what are we talking about today? Yes, we're going to talk to a fashion revolutionary later today, if you've never heard that term before. It's all about how to get the most out of your wardrobe, you know, make your clothes last, the most beloved items in the wardrobe. And what's the oldest item you have in your wardrobe? And what's the secret to its longevity? Certainly not washing, by the sounds of it. We'll be talking about that later on. 51551, as I say, is the text. Now, were you all watching Home of the Year last night? Sure, what else is there? What else is there to do nowadays? Well, the word of the night, or the controversy of the night, was the islands, wasn't it? Is the islands. Now, there was no moderate, but Hugh, who is a wonderful man, he loves the words that all alliterate together. Home of the Year, prim, precise, professional. And he stormed out of a kitchen at one point. He threw his eyes up to heaven. I mean, it all kicks off in that show. And Yes, islands was the thing that tickled Amanda Bone, and she got fairly exercised about it. We have a clip, don't we? Have a clip of the show?
It's a great size of a kitchen, and I love the fact that there isn't an island.
I think it feels very expansive, and I think the elephant in the room is a missing island.
No, I can stand here and spread my arms. At last, someone hasn't given in to the craze of the islands.
But I don't think it's a craze. I think it's really functional.
But I can actually dance in my kitchen because I'm not going to bang my hips off the corner of an island.
It's just such a relief not to see an island.
I love dancing in my kitchen. The end wall in my kitchen is mirrored, so it's great crack.
Didn't see that coming from Amanda, that she has a huge mirror and she dances in front of it, you know? But anyway, what a division between Susie and Amanda on the island. That'll be the next Claire Byrne Live debate now, you know, because they've done United Ireland. They've done the trivial stuff. So Kitchen Islands, that'll be the next one. Will they bring Joe Brawley in for that? No, probably not. Will they? Okay. He'd have an opinion on it. Anyway, he definitely would. Philip Nolan of the Irish Daily Mail tweeted while watching it, and he's kind of going, I don't like wallpaper. I don't like kitchen islands or rotten furniture. I don't like clutter. I don't like colour. In fact, I don't like houses. Pointless, the lot of them, he says. Everyone should live in cubes, white cubes with nothing in them, not even the owner. And it was mad crack. I always get a great a thrill out of seeing what will Hugh show up wearing next, because he is like full of self-confidence. I wish I had it. Colin Devitt tweeted, Hugh is the last man in Ireland committed to the jumper over the shoulders look. Absolutely, Colin, try it. You can waltz in, you'll feel right at home, except for the giant stove. It's great, but get people very angsty. We're obsessed, you see, with houses and property in this country. And sure, why not? Weren't we dispossessed by the Sassani? So we cling to the land and the houses in honour of our fathers and forefathers and foremammies. The Americans have their guns, but we have our kitchen islands and soft clothes drawers and gigantic stoves that'll just burn everything that we have. Actually, on the subject of timber and stuff you might burn in your stove, we got a lovely email in from Marion. And it's got a photograph of a block that she brought in for the fire, which she said it occurred totally naturally, not drawn. So it's kind of like a grain, shaded grain inside it. And she says a natural hug, because it looks exactly like Adam King's Hug for You, which are in card form there, weren't they, for Mother's Day? Adam King of Toy Show Fame. He needs no introduction at this stage. Loads of reaction, by the way. We'll come to later on Orla Shinawi from Eurosport, we were talking to yesterday. Some interesting observations there on that old thing. But more important news, the man himself isn't here today, but he is doing the Late 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 Show. and Jedward will be on the Late Late. Why? Because they're going to shave their trademark quiffs off for Daffodil Day in honour of the to raise funds for the Irish Cancer Society. So the whole Late Late on Friday is going to be dedicated to Daffodil Day, which of course can't take place as normal because of the thing that's happening. You know, it's you know, you should look it up. It's amazing. But anyway, 29-year-old John and Edward Grimes, whose mother Susanna passed away after battling cancer in 2019, say they're going to shave off their quiffs to support the fighting heroes currently going through cancer. We're hopeful the funds will be raised to contribute to a cancer-free future. We are honouring the memory of all those who've come and gone. We are sending strength and love to all those suffering. So that's on the Late Late. And fair play to them. I have a great time for Jedward. They're, you know, they're light, they are spark. And I don't think I've ever seen young fellas or anyone almost wear grief as kind of completely and as hopefully and as differently as the pair of them. So, you know, if you find them annoying, then maybe you just have a problem with expressions of youth and energy. Do you ever think of that? Island haters out there among you. Anyway, loving Jedward. Now, very importantly, other than islands that divide us, not to mention a divided island, the other controversial topic that gets us going is the weather. But the Irish Examiner has this discussion about what it means when you see a halo around the moon in the night sky, because apparently people looking up last night would have noticed a ring around the moon, especially in Cork, apparently, because it's always, you know, it's always better. Everything's better in Cork. So the Irish Examiner went, what is this moon halo about? So Astronomy Ireland said it's caused by ice crystals high in the atmosphere. Well, so what does it mean about the weather? Well, apparently it's seen. Carla Weather, Alan O'Reilly from Carla Weather, told the Examiner, the halo is often seen before a period of low pressure. Folklore would say they appear before a storm, said Mr. O'Reilly, and he might have a point. According to Met Air, and rain is going to develop tomorrow in the west, will spread eastwards through the afternoon. The outlook for the rest of the week is unsettled. Don't say that. It's such a beautiful but chilly day today. There you go, moon halos. What would Amanda Bone think of moon halos? I don't like moon halos. It just interferes with the space.
I love a good moon halo. If I could get a halo, I would drape it over my shoulders.
Stop it, you've had enough now. Anyway, that's back again next Tuesday night. Now, this is an interesting story. What are you doing with your neighbours to keep yourselves occupied at the moment? Well, apparently, these neighbours, started by a 92-year-old writer, decided to write a murder mystery novel together. So they came together during the lockdown. And Alan Granger, he's been cocooning. Didn't think we're using that term anymore. Anyway, he's in his County Dublin apartment since the pandemic began. And he invited his neighbours via email to relay write a murder mystery thriller with him. And he says relay writing, it's not unlike a relay race. You keep passing something on to the next person. They carry it on to the one after that. And in a book, OK, so there's a chapter and everyone does a chapter and then the next thing it comes together. So Natalie Cox Phillips, who's there, found it to be a lovely creative experience. Michal Maxivna wrote chapter 9, says the project enriched our lives for the months that we've been at it. Great idea. It's called The Secrets of Beacon Court, under the pen name Lotta Vokes. Lotta Vokes, okay. And that was published on Amazon. And you can get it there. Great stuff. What else? Yes, coffee huts apparently are a thing everywhere. So Sean Bohan prompted him to tweet, there are more coffee huts opening in Ireland than there are vaccines being given out. Don't go there again. Let's not go there. And one of the replies, Shane R, because you can be cool on Twitter and you can call yourself whatever you want. It appears you're nobody if you don't have a coffee hut or a podcast. It's only a matter of time until we get a live podcast from a coffee hut. Very good. Eamon Ryan probably wouldn't be too happy with some of them because you hear the generators going there. You're kind of out for a lovely walk and it's like, petrol fumes and everything. It's like a lawnmower. I'm sure someone will come up with a lawnmower that will power a coffee hut and then they can cut grass when they're doing it and then it's going to be powered by biofuel or something, or a moon halo. You never know. What else is happening? Yes, let's stick with some of these tweets because some good ones here. Declan Cashin says, what's a habit or routine you developed during lockdown over the last year that you plan to continue doing in what he calls, in capitalized, the after times? Yeah, can't wait for the after times. He says, for me, it's long walks and daily cake. Hashtag 1 year on. And another cake related tweet by Helena Handbasket said, my neighbour just dropped the cake she was carrying from her car into her house, sat down and cried until her husband carried her into the house. And I've never felt a stronger connection to any other human being in my life. So I'm baking her a new cake now, which is rather lovely. Hope she Let's check the allergies and all that. You have to do that nowadays, don't you? But yeah, that's just the whole lies right now, isn't it? Just carrying in a cake. You're just going for, you brought it all the way. Someone's made it with care and attention. And you're actually nervous about it in the car, aren't you? Because you're wondering, is it going to slide now in the box? And then it's when you, she's just going from the car. It just ends up face down, probably. She sat down and cried. It's kind of like, that's just her lives. Oh, it's Helena Handbasket. You see, you can call yourself whatever you want on Twitter. And the whole world has gone to Helena Handbasket. Helena Handbasket. Didn't really do it justice. Now, Prince Harry is in the news again. And you say, yes, I really want to know what's happening in Prince Harry's life, because I really feel for him ever since the interview, which was literally people just calling it the interview, weren't they, for all the time? Interview was really stretching it, I have to say. But of course, we believe them and we're with Meghan, and because we don't like the tired, crusty thing. But really, you know, I don't think they're struggling too much, you know, money wise, which they seem to indicate, because he says, well, we just got the place with the inheritance from Diana, which turned out to be 10 million in the end afterwards. But anyway, Prince Harry now has joined a $1 billion Silicon Valley startup as a senior executive. The Irish Times tells us it's the Duke of Sussex's first formal role since ending royal duties. So what's he doing? He's the chief impact officer at BetterUp. What? Provides professional coaching, mental health advice. Ah, OK, well, that's connected to the charities and their cause, which they're doing a very good job on, despite some people trying to cast doubts on the whole motivations behind it. And immersive learning. Apparently, he's chief impact officer, and that's the latest gig. So, I mean, by the sounds of it, his job is to take some English language words, extract as much meaning as possible, and then waffle on a bit, send an invoice, waffle some more. It's basically, it's the California guff industry. Fair play to him. I mean, he's self-sufficient now. He's a strong, independent man in a couple. It's a strong independent couple. I came out horribly wrong. Of course, a reminder here, the Irish Times just sneaking it in there that they've also signed multi-million dollar deals to provide content. You can't do anything without a bit of content for Spotify and Netflix, which apparently I've saw elsewhere. The couple are now worth $100 million, which is... But they haven't really done... Like, they've done one podcast, 34-minute long podcast. Terrible name, Archwell. But it's kind of Archie Well, is that the kid's name. They're the laziest podcasters of all time because usually there's too much of it, but they've just done one in a year. And I think she narrated a Netflix thing at one stage as well. So, I mean, get on with it, lads. Tens of millions. 51551 is the text machine. What a pain in the neck Amanda Bone is. She has ruined that program with her rude comments. Well, I'm going to delete that text now. How dare you? I totally disagree with you, texter. I think she's the most entertaining thing to happen. And I think Hugh knows it as well, doesn't it? And he's going, well, I never. As he does that thing where he hovers at the threshold of bedrooms, not quite comfortable with the whole entering other people's bedrooms thing. I'm with you, Hugh. I kind of shudder a bit because Susie doesn't mind. She just goes in there. She's like rearranging their cushions. I don't like cushions, by the way. Sorry, Amanda. We know you're cool, but there's no need to ruin everything for us just at the moment. Poet Britney Spears. Why am I stronger than yesterday, says Big Pat. Well, Big Pat, I'd say now you are a sneaky fan of Britney Spears. You know, I can just see you now in a big, dirty, Massey Ferguson singing away, stronger than yesterday. I know it. Next one says, call me old-fashioned. But when I heard on the news that they were opening a new chip factory in Kildare, I thought of the smoked cod and chip variety. I thought, geez, 4 billion. That's a lot of money to be spending on a chip factory, says Alex in Dublin. Yeah, that's the kind of fog we're living in. You just don't know what you're listening to. And also, I love the way we just kind of, intel is a lovely word, whereas intel is kind of a dirty kind of espionage word around the world. But anyway, fair play to them. I think they've managed to keep it open as well. Haven't they got an exemption to keep building it because they're spending 15 billion and they just said, okay, yeah, you can pretty much do whatever you want. Yeah, just carry on. How many jobs? Okay, do whatever you want, literally. But less said about Facebook now, the better. God, that grinds my gears. Anyway, this is a happy place. I love Jedward too. People look at me askance when I say it. Two very self-aware, empathetic young men, says Anne. Yes, you should have. They did a great interview last summer with Ray Darcy and they hit on something which we'd kind of forgotten and overlooked about Jedward. They just said basically on X Factor over 10 years ago now, isn't it, that they felt they were basically being bullied by the entire world, and we all sat back and laughed about it. I did sketches myself, although we were kind of more, we were nice about on the Jerry Ryan show back in the day. because the Geraint show was a big fan of Jedward. Anyway, now I want to tell you, I was watching the RT Player last night, a show. It went out on Monday night on RT1 called My Tribe, Mochrave. Great bilingual program. It was narrated by the amazing Peter Coonan. Fran from Love Hate, but he does lots more stuff. He shouldn't be typecast as that. And it was all about the underground worlds of, you know, music, youth, culture, movements. And this particular episode was about dance and raves and house music in the 90s. And the fashion was great and the stories were fantastic. Contributions from the DJs. Tony Walsh was there, the Gash Collector from the West of Ireland and others. But what was relevant about the episode for now, for today, was there discussion about the licensing laws now. And this is very relevant, isn't it? Because the sacrifice that industry is going through, and they were just talking about the fact that venues need an alcohol license, which is very difficult and expensive, and a dance license, and you can't get just one or the other. And not youngsters necessarily don't want to have alcohol on the premises. They just want to dance and dance into the small hours. Whereas like pubs close at 12:30 and then the clubs close at 2:30. So it's like a 2 hour window, an hour and a half, if you include the queue where you get eyeballed by the bouncers. And they do it all over the Europe and in the UK. So if ever there was an opportunity to reform those laws, it's now. And if ever there was a time to reward the compliance of the youngsters who are missing out, as well as the sacrifice of the night industry, if we can call it that, it's also now. So maybe they'll look at those laws for the post-pandemic boom that we hope is on its way for the aftertimes. Mochrave, Mochrave, watch it. It's on the Player. Mind the Gap film. So fair play to them. Great job. And anyway, this song goes out to all of those who took part. Just give them a shot at the night, will you? Department of Justice. That's, of course, the Killers, which people can be a little snooty about. I'm a big, big Killers fan, big believer in the Killers, but then I am wearing a shirt and kind of V-neck jumper thing. So, you know, maybe that says more about me. Anyway, Shot of the Night is obviously what it's called. Oh, look, there's a text. 51551, by the way. How could you not love the Killers? Could sing the Chinese dictionary and it would still sound epic, says Trev. Yeah, well, you see, some people, Trev, might say that, yeah, someone called Trev would be a Killers fan. And at my name, which is no better. That's slagging your name. Anyway, let's move along. Now, we had a great reaction yesterday from Orla Shenawi, who's from Derry, of course. And she's in Eurosports and she brought us through her amazing career, really, where she was a young athlete and then she studied law and then she was in journalism through Sky Sports. Anyway, she is fantastic export as ever. And this email came in because we're discussing about working and working mothers in particular. And I think it's an alternative view which is worth listening to. Dear Oliver, I'm writing this for my own sake rather than anyone else's to share my thoughts on that very controversial topic, women and motherhood. I go right back to the 70s and 80s. I was a vocal fan of the feminine mystique and proponents of liberation for women like Germaine Greer, Simone Beauvoir and so on. Then I had my first child and my whole world changed. I had early informed my boss on the eve of my departure to give birth that I would be seeing him in 6 weeks' time. To cut a long story short, I would have been heartbroken if I had to return to work in 6 weeks, as I had promised. Nothing in the world had prepared me for the profound experience of motherhood that took over. I went on to have three more children, worked full time as a mother, getting deep fulfillment from it all, in spite of bouts of depression, sickness, and the usual sleeplessness, not to mention penny pinching. Even though we'd no car, no washing machine, certainly no holidays abroad in those early years, I felt it was the privilege of my life that we could just about afford for me to give up paying work. My point is this. I'm delighted with all the strides that have been made to enable women to have the choice to do whatever they need or want to do when they have children. And there are many more things that need doing on that. But I feel now for the women who wish to be full-time parents, who are forced to carry on working outside the home, even if every fibre of their being is screaming to be with their children full-time. The last time I looked, women and men are very different. And the world I hope for will be equal, but not the same. That is the challenge. Please let's not make women's liberation become another form of enslavement for the women who choose to opt for full-time mothering. Thank you for reading and for all the laughs. Kind regards, says Ruth. Well, Ruth, what can we say? We thank you very much for sharing your... It is an alternative view on that conversation. And on it goes. But the good thing is we're having the conversation. I hope you feel better for getting that into us. ryan@rte.ie is the email address. Also, something I just didn't get to say yesterday. This texter, yes, Niamh was texting to say, I was listening to Orla Shenawy on the show and I wanted to let you know about Her Sport. It's an Irish website dedicated to women in sport. We are writing all about it and trying to make that change for women in sport. We are the media platform for women's sport in Ireland, have built a brilliant community. That's from Niamh and hersport.ie. Fantastic website, looks great as well. So fair play to them. And we're going to be talking about fast fashion after the break.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, welcome back. It's Oliver Callan here in for Ryan this week. And a huge, huge reaction to our clothes story. That was Ursula De Castro. She had a great voice, didn't she? She was kind of like an Italian Joanna Lumley in many ways. I have a thorn-proof hacking jacket, handmade for me in 1970. Still as good as new, still fits. Expensive at the time, but quality material, well-made, says Steve in Wexford. I love vintage clothes, says Patricia in Bettystown. They last so long. Also, handmade accessories are super with the same dress, making it look so different. Yes, it's all about kind of changing it and making it, you know, authentic to you and different to you. Evelyn Wood has an excellent vintage sewing site, well worth exploring for reusing and redesigning clothes, says Anne. Bought an Adidas jacket in America in 1995. Still take it out of the wardrobe every winter. It's also reversible, says Ken. Well, you know, 1995, sure, it's back in fashion again. Youngsters will wear that. Isn't your man sure, Connell and the Chain and Paul Mescal, all about the retro clothing. My daughter wears some of my clothes from the 80s, says Ellen in Wicklow. And the texts just go on and on. There's amazing, a lot of people saying we are doing sustainable fashion. Obviously, probably not enough because, as we heard there, we're making double the clothes than we did even 15 years ago. And 75% of all the textiles created in the world every year just end up in the dump. And a lot of it contains plastics, which involves fossil fuels to make, and it stays there. Some of it never actually rotting, not even less than plastic. Now, I was also speaking the subject of young people and you're getting your fashion to go out, giving them their shot at the night in that programme, Mochrave. I mentioned that they are campaigning and looking to have licensing laws, which are quite archaic, reformed. Well, the Department of Justice has been in touch to remind us that Minister for Justice Helen McEntee unveiled a plan to include the overhaul of licensing laws. Laws on opening hours for pubs and nightclubs will be modernised under the proposals which were being announced. I remember she actually got quite a lot of stick at the time for announcing it. People saying, how could you be doing that when the pubs are all closed down? Which actually, no, this is the perfect time to do it when everything is unfortunately paused and staggered and extending closing times are under consideration, as is the introduction of new categories of licences. So keep on that, keep the pressure on, and hopefully something will come of that. And we're out of time and overtime. We'll be back again tomorrow. Claire Byrne is next. Good morning.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.